Welcome to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. Each week brings a new message that looks to invite you into a new life brought by Jesus Christ. We hope you are inspired and changed by God by the message brought by today's speaker.
The Bible tells us that Jesus, on the night that he was going to be betrayed, brought his disciples together. In that time, he was sharing with them what was about to take place. He took bread and he broke it, and he took the cup and he blessed it. And in that time, they were sitting there, all of them about to betray him. Judas had already been to the council, and he was going to betray him for his life, but the others are going to betray him by abandonment and going AWOL. They were not going to be seen except for two. There were going to be two, and we'll get into this a little bit, two who went to where the trial was, and only one was at the foot of the cross. But that was after the fact. And during that time, Jesus stood alone. On the night that he was going to be betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it. And I encourage you, if you were a believer in Christ, to share this with us. He took the blood and he said, "This is my body, which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take and eat it." So please do. So we're going to wait and let everybody get the cup. If you'll bear with us, please. Some Sundays you plan and plan and plan, and it just doesn't fall in place, but that's okay. God is still glorified because we tell about him and share about Jesus. Likewise, he had them around the table. And he took the cup of the juice of the pure, unfermented, what they called wine. It had not become old wine, it was new wine, which means it had not fermented. And he took that and he made sure that everyone had some. And then he said, "This is my body, this is my blood, which is broken, which is shed for you. Take this in remembrance of me." Please drink it. Lord, as we have done this, as we have partaken in this most sacred time together, we remember. We remember that you walked the face of the earth and did nothing wrong. We remember that you were betrayed. We remember that you took the stripes and the beatings and the crown of thorns that was beat into your head. We remember you took the cross up Golgotha's hill and stumbled beneath the load to where someone else had to come help you. Remember, they drove the nails into your hands and feet. And we remember, with your last breath, you said, "It is finished." And so, Lord, we just ask you that within our own hearts, the finishing would happen of struggles to serve you, but we would be all surrendered as well. And we thank you, Lord, for this time together that we have. And we would ask you, Lord, that you would be with us as we share some things together today. In Jesus' name, amen. We are here today on the Memorial Day weekend. Many of us will have picnics or times together with family, but all of us will remember those who have gone on before us. It may be a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a son, or a daughter, a spouse, or others. It is a tough time for some of us because there are good memories wrapped up in those things that those people represent, but also because of the love that we now do not, we're not able to share with those people at this time. I have a grandmother that was one of the most godly women I've ever known, and she's in heaven. You may have parents that were godly people that you remember. I want you to celebrate them today. Grieving is good. It's processing the loss, but I want you to celebrate their memory as long as it's good. For those of you who have memories of that are not good of people who have gone before you, I want you to celebrate as well that God in His grace has transformed you from what you could have been to what you are now. My aunt used to say, never trouble trouble till trouble troubles you. You can't help the tree you fall from, but you can roll out from under the tree. Now that's kind of a country way of saying you can be different by the grace of Jesus Christ, and you don't have to be like who you've been around. Walk away. And I want you to celebrate the fact that God has transformed you away from being like those people. We also celebrate, as you may have thought, those who have given their lives or served our country to keep this land free. Yes, we are at a crossroads. Yes, there are political battles. Yes, there are political perspectives. Yes, there are things going on. But we are still able to meet in church on Sunday and worship God. I will be with the veterans tomorrow, thanks to Rick, and I will be there for two different services and commemorating some things. I will be remembering the Ho Chi Minh Trail. I will be remembering the Bouncing Bettys that came up with a tripwire and blew men's heads off. I was told one time that devil dogs, jarheads don't cry. Have you seen your buddy? From someone younger, Rick, that had never seen their buddy lose their life in such a way. I remember Ann Hock. I will remember so many more. I remember Boots McGill. We never knew his first name. He just wore different kinds of boots, and when we went tramping through some things, he always danced through with those boots through the yuck and the mud and the mess. Boots. I remember a guy, he could have been called Clint Eastwood, and he said, go ahead, make my day, because he was the one that went before his unit as a sniper to try to take out the early insurgents that could take our guys out so that our guys would be safer. I remember Grenada, the Gulf, Gulf 1, Gulf 2. I will remember so many more. And yet what I will also remember is that Jesus came to give us a life and life more abundantly, that we can be completely different by design. And the things that we are doing and the life that we are living is something that we can be different by design. I want to talk to you this morning about this theme, Holy Legacy. I want to give you a theme message in terms of a title. Life living is legacy leaving. Living our life, living a legacy. And I'm going to say this in a sentence, for my sermon in a sentence is not a sentence per se, it's a question. Are we living a legacy worth leaving, or are we living a legacy worth losing? What I mean by that is the life that we're living a legacy that people will be glad that they remembered about us, or is something we need to be transformed by? My grandfather was the meanest man on God's green earth in his time. And at a little over 70 years old, he got religion. And from there, his life was completely transformed. His last Sunday in church, he took off running and shouting. A guy had said, Lawrence Wilson's faking. So the pastor said, well, next time you get, you know, you just step in there and you just say, now, Lawrence, you just need to calm down. And the first time, Grandpa blew him down. On the second time, he gave him a hand up. And on the third time, he took him to the altar. Grandpa was not faking. The Apostle Paul in our text is something of similar. He had been one who had been persecuting the church. He was one that had been doing things and bringing people to jail and was standing by while people were killed for their faith. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he upheld everything about it, and yet he said, no, that Christianity stuff has to be false. And then he says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. But, despite all this, but, in spite of what I was, but, regardless of the life that I once lived, but, I love that three-letter word. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace was not made to me in vain. By the grace, I am what I am by the grace of God, and His grace was not made to me in vain. I remember memorizing that verse in quizzing, and that is one of them that has stuck with me and stuck with me and stuck with me. You see, at this point in my life, I kind of relate to Erickson's ideas of the stages of living. Generativity versus stagnation. He says contributing and being counted as worthy and leaving a legacy is what we need to be doing if we are to be able to say that we are successful in our life. He did not say make money. He did not say escalate up the corporate ladder. He did not say have a big job anywhere. He did not even say go from buck private to sergeant because you're in the field. He just said this, generativity versus stagnation. Contributing and making a change, leaving a legacy with a contribution and impact. Let's talk about that today. As I look into the scriptures, I see some places where people were doing really, really, really well, and then they just started sliding away. You remember the story well. I've already alluded to it. The only person at the foot of the cross that was part of John, of the disciples, was John. John was there with Mary, his mother. And there John was, the only one to be with Jesus. The only one to be with his mother. And Jesus had said, you take her as your own. You may remember the story well of your own when you knelt at a foot of a cross. You may remember the story well when you remember that you came to Jesus and you said, I confess my sins. That means I did it. I admit it was wrong. I admit it was sin and still is sin. I admit I am broken by that sin. I admit I need to confess and I need admit I need to forsake that sin. We can say all this, that, and the other, but until we get to that point, we have not really repented of the sin. And that is what Jesus has come to give us an example and an ability to do, is that we can experience His forgiveness because we have His rebuilding of our lives. John is there at the foot of the cross. He's the only one that went all the way. And he is the only one that did not die a full martyr's death. He is on the Isle of Patmos. There Jesus comes to him for the book of Revelation. He had been beaten and left for dead. He had been striped with whips and whatever. He very well may have had infection that set in and caused sepsis that cost his life. We don't know. But we do know that he was not murdered per se. We do know that he was not crucified per se. We do know that he was not tortured to death like Thomas was in terms of the historical accounts. The same Thomas that said, unless I see his hands and his feet, I won't believe. And then he did see and he believed and he went on from there and proclaimed Jesus. What's the life we're living? What's the legacy we're leaving? Are we living at the foot of the cross? Or have we just started slipping? There's another level. It's the level of the two. Peter and someone went to the place where Jesus was being tried. We do not know the name of that disciple. Many think it was John, but we just simply don't know. I think it probably was, but we don't know. Here's the interesting thing. The Bible says this. That other disciple knew people there, and he got Peter in to see Jesus. Who do you know that needs to experience Jesus? What legacy are you leaving by the life you're living? Are you introducing people to the same Jesus that died and rose again? Do you even have that passion in your heart? Do we as a church have such a passion that we cannot help but burn light with the bright light of the fire of God in our souls? John Wesley put it this way, burn so bright that they will come to see you burn and see the fire. When people look at you, when people look at me, when people look at this church, what's the legacy? We're leaving because of the life we're living. Living a life, leaving a legacy. The next circle is a circle of the three, the inner three, Peter, James, and John. They saw everything. A lot of the times the rest of the disciples did too, but there were times when only Peter, James, and John were there. They were the inmost circle. They had the most close ties interpersonally with Jesus of all of the disciples. It's interesting to note when the disciples replaced Judas, they chose Matthias because he was from the beginning of when Jesus started to teach. We do not know when Jesus called Matthias. We know about the other 12, but we don't know when Jesus called Matthias. It doesn't say. But what the Bible does say is that Matthias was there and the lot fell to him to replace Judas, who had betrayed Jesus. Still, they were the inner three. They were on the mountain. They were there when Jesus talked with Elijah. They were there at the transfiguration. They were there at the most innermost times when they could be seen and someone could be seeing Jesus doing things, ministering, being ministered to, talking, sharing, transforming. How intimate is our relationship with Jesus? When was the last time you really were so broken that you had to be alone with God for a protracted time? You didn't even set a time. You just had to be alone with God. I love what David said this morning about that, about spending time first. I do not say you have to be there of a morning. I just say you have to have time each day. Because Jesus did. Do we have that intimacy? Are we living out that life and leaving that legacy that people know this man, this woman, this teenager, this younger person spends time with Jesus? An evangelist used to be in the Church of the Nazarene, and he has now gone on to be with the Lord. He told the story of how his wife was in her bedroom having time with Jesus when the kids were out running around in the house. They weren't doing anything bad. They were just running around in the house being kids. He had gotten home the night before from a slate that was just incredibly insane. And as he was standing there, the daughter wanted to go disturb mommy. And the son said, "Now you don't do that. You know mommy's praying and she cannot be disturbed." And he said, "I wanted to stand and salute my wife and my son." I talked to that same evangelist many years later about that very quote that he did. And he said, "You know what happened?" And I said, "Sir, no, sir." He said that was one of the marquee times when his kids knew mama had a priority with Jesus over them. And from that time on, he noticed an exponentially deepening walk in the life of his kids with Jesus. Are we living a life that is leaving a legacy worth keeping, or a legacy worth losing? There's the circle of the 12, where you remember the story maybe. Jesus, there were 12 disciples. Jesus called to help him, and I can't remember all of their names, but Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother John. He met them. He called them. He said this, "Come, follow me." In other words, make me the priority. Not the job of fishing. Me. Not the association of the folks and parents. And back then it was even worse than it is now, or better than it is now, depending on your perspective and your situation. There was no social welfare. Kids took care of their older parents. There was no social security. There was no retirement. There were no 401ks. There was none of that. Come follow me. And they left everything. Have you heard the call? Again. To come. And follow Jesus. Have you heard the call again to get more intimate with Jesus? Have you even heard Jesus today? I was sitting in a pastor's office, and I was talking with a man and his wife. I would say counseling, but that's pastoral counseling, not professional. I'm not a professional counselor. I've had a lot of hours that I've read up on it, but I'm not a professional counselor. They were sitting there and going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I turned to the man and I said, "Can I ask you something, sir? When was the last time you prayed? When was the last time you spent time in the Word? When was the last time you told your wife you loved her? Stone silence. And after about a minute, I figured I'd let that dog rest a while, so I better jump him up and revive him. And I said, "Sir, that dog don't hunt. Is it any wonder you're having trouble?" Are you getting it? Does your spouse and your family know you love them more than anyone else on this earth, but you love Jesus more, and you spend time with him so that you can serve them and show Jesus to them? I'm going to be honest with you. All of us blow it. All of us blow it. I was upset with my wife this morning. I burnt my own toast. I'm kidding. Thank God Father's Day is our first Sunday when both of us are here from this point forward. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. And by the way, that's our 7th anniversary, so I'm skipping out, and we're going to eat. No, not at McDonald's. It's Burger King. No, it's not. I'm sorry. Don't go there. When we're on the road, she likes Subway and nothing else as far as fast food. But you see, she's the most important person in this world to me. Is there an intimacy with Jesus that he is the most important personhood ever? Now? There's the circle of the 70, the next group. They're the ones that were sent out. It's the only time Jesus sent men out before they were filled with the Spirit. To teach, to preach, to cast out demons, to heal. Man, they came back like a house of fire. They said, "Man, we are just amazed. You sent us out and look what we did." No, you didn't do it. Do not revel that you did this, because I'm the one who sent you out. You got my power to do it. But rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven? Are we reveling in what we're accomplishing? Because I'm going to share something with you, folks. We ain't accomplishing nothing. It's Him. Now, that's Kentucky, and we ain't. But I think I can get away with a little bit of it now until Debbie sees me after church because she taught school. Don't get mad at me, Jim. I'm picking on your wife. What are we doing that we are so proud of that we need to lose that legacy? What are we living? Who are we living for? Are we living a life that is leaving a legacy for Jesus? Oh man, they were celebrating. They were having a party hardy. And then Jesus spoke into their lives, not just to their bodies of hearing words. And they followed Him. He commanded them also to become people that went into the highways and the hedges to compel them to come in. He commanded them in Matthew 28, what we call the Great Commission. Folks, those are not just words. Those are imperatives. Those are commands. Can I ask you something a little bit tough? Who did you share Jesus with this week? Well, how do I do it? I don't know how to do it. Here's some really easy ways to do it, folks. You go to a gas station, you go to a grocery store, you go to whatever. Hey, how you doing? I'm doing good. How you doing? Well, brother, let me tell you something. God's been so good to me, I can hardly stand it. He's blessed me so much. What did you just do? Take about 10 seconds and share Jesus. And then I hear, I don't have the time. I don't have the talent. Yes, you do. You don't use it. You don't have the passion. You don't have the purpose. Time, the ability to talk, we've got. Passion, purpose, we don't. From there, there's the circle of the 5,000 or the masses, as I call them, because there was a time when he fed the 4,000 as well. They came for what they could get. The life they lived was go and see what we can get because they knew he would give them something. And the scriptures record, you do not come to me to hear from me, but you come to me because you were fed. You did not come to me to follow after me, to be transformed, to be changed, but you came to me to get something from me, not be transformed by me. The masses, well, we can elect who we want to. We will crucify you. They didn't say that then, but they would later. Crucify him. Crucify him. Release unto us Barabbas. Why? He was in the company of masses that were not getting fed or healed or seeing demons go into a hog and down a slope and over a cliff. Are we serving / desiring something of Jesus because we can get something from Jesus? Or are we instead serving us and making Jesus our errand boy? Living a life, leaving a legacy. Are we living a legacy worth leaving? Or are we living a legacy worth losing? Folks, there's good news. This is Pentecost Sunday. There is the circle. There is the group of the 120. They were in the upper room. They became unified in one place. They devoted themselves to prayer and unity. We don't know how they ate. We don't know how they bathed. We don't know what they did. Who knows? God may have kept them from sweating and stinking. I don't know. It's one of those things that the Bible tells us everything for salvation, but it doesn't tell us everything. He didn't tell us how they took baths. But it says that they were there in one accord. No, not a Honda. They were there in one purpose, one pursuit, one goal. Because Jesus had already promised and commanded them to receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the entity of the third person of the Trinity. Same mind, same purpose, same pursuit, different personality. To fill us in our spirits that the life we lived is a legacy we leave, that we will hear, "Well done, good, faithful servant." My wife has just finished 29 years of teaching. She went to her last graduation, hallelujah, on Saturday. She gave the invocation. And now, she's done. And the leadership at the school, including the former president, have said, "Thank you. Well done." Folks, I'm glad they did. But what I'm looking forward to is for her and I both to hear this. Micah David Rogers, Karen Irene Rogers, well done, good, faithful servant. Welcome in. Welcome home. Where are we at today? On this Memorial Day weekend, will you take stock, bow your head, close your eyes, and take stock? Bow your head, close your eyes, take stock, and say, "Lord, is my life living you?" In my relationships with you and my family, is my life living you? Is the legacy I'm leaving going to be remembered for Jesus or something else? When my time comes, will I hear, "Well done, good, faithful servant, even in the midst of stuff. Well done, good, faithful servant. Enter in." Lord, as we are here today, we say, transform us. Make us different as we leave than the people we were when we came. Make us different by design because of you being who we are. Not just a name. Not just an association. Not just some kind of an identity. But beyond that, that we are living in you. That we will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I think you know. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for each person that's here. that has said, make me new today, that my life is a legacy of Jesus. In your name we pray. And all God's people said.
Thanks for listening to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. We hope you were inspired by this week's message. We'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 3924 High Street Northwest in Warren, Ohio. You can also join us on Facebook Live. For more information about our ministries, or if you'd like to contribute to our ministries online, visit us at championnaz.org.